Is there someone who can hold these keys? They're just parked, blocking the three cars here. So if anybody...
Sorry, I'm one of the cars.
If your wife, any car needs to move, then...
It's a bit of a
share that.
Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 6th of Adar Sheni, 9th of March. Rabbi Doniel Roche, Lita, Megillas Esther, Part 4. This week's Torah has been sponsored by the Simchas of Bar Mitzvah Shel, Binyamin Ben Svi Ebert, Nirayoa, Yehi Rotson, Shizku Harov, Kainov, Rav Nacha, Simena Mikol, Yotzei Chalatzehem, Rufo Shleim, Mishal Shraga, Ben Salawi, Nirayoa, Shizkel, Rufo Shleimo, Bekorot, Besoch, Or, Chule, Yisrael, Omein.
Omein.
Okay. So, we are, we're actually up to the 8th parak, I believe, 7th, sorry, I should say, in the Megillah. We've jumped a little bit around, but it's infinite, so we'll see if we can, we're trying to bring out some key aspects of this. I also want to say some of the chiddushim today, I heard many years ago, in a share in the Old City of Yerushalayim from Rav Weinberg, and if I don't say B'Shem Omer as I go through, those things will be his. Also, B'ez Hashem with a bit of potential Hesofa. But the moment here that we are in now is the second Su'uda. That's Perek Zayin begins in the second Su'uda. And we a little bit rushed the Perek before, but the Belayla who Nodosh Nasa Melech. Now let's understand what's happened so far. We saw that Esther gathered together these two Achashverosh and Haman. She had many possibilities as to what could emerge. She doesn't really know exactly what's going to happen. And the first Su'udah, nothing happened. And you actually, by the way, see that very powerfully in the Pesukim, because when she turns around and Achashverosh offered her the Su'udah, what is it you want? Ad Chatzia Malchus Haseos. So if you listen to how long her answer is, how many times she sort of, she's almost like she's placed the things together and she's waiting for the nace to happen. So Vatanas the Vatoima Sheilosi Uva Koshosi. She's just like repeating the words. Immotsosi Chain, Beine Amelech, if I found favor, Imala Melech Tov. Okay, those she'll say this time too. Lossi says Sheilosi, to give my Sheila. Velas is Bakoshosi, and to do my Bakosha. She's just waiting and nothing's happening. So then she says, Yova Melech Vahaman Lemishta She'esa Lemmocha Esa Kedva Melech. She's like desperate. Nothing's happened. Here she is again, and this time she has no more choices. There's no more delays. But something interesting happens. There's a few little changes that are very subtly alluded to in the Pesukim. The first is simply that Haman walked in Ovav v'chafoy rosh. Haman had this whole nightmare scenario. He went right from the Neisheva Ga'in, from the highest heights that he thought in his mind, where he believes the king's about to reward him, and he starts telling the king calls him in, and he says, you know, wear the levush, the same clothes the king wore, the same horse the king. I mean, you think where he is. He even used the Lashon Keser Malchus. He should put the crown on me right now. I mean, basically, take everything. That, he says, kachas levush, asuska shedibati, take those, not the Keser. Crown's a little bit too far. And Bimal B'Shmordechai, and he went literally from there to Ovel v'Chafoy Rosh, to walking in, and that's the moment. As he comes home, Ovel mourning and Chafoy Rosh and all the horrific, at that moment they brought him straight in. So he came in that, sorry, he came like that to the Su'udah. So that's the first thing that's clearly going to have changed. But right at the beginning of the seventh parak, we have a little remez over here that something else has changed. And it's picked up in some afarish, and the Goyim picks it up. And he says as follows. Sorry, where are we? Here we go. Oh, am I missing a page somewhere? here we go, yeah. Vayova Melech Bahaman Lishtois im Esther Malka. They come to drink with Esther Malka. Last time, it just says that Yova Melech Bahaman El Mishta Asher Ososa Esther. They came to the Mishta. Here they're doing something with her. The Gros says that there's different things that are going on. And the Gros points out that that she herself can now be last time she was fasting, this time she's part of the Su'udah. But there's another possible dimension here as well, which is they feel with her on some level. We don't know what's happening, but what happens in the next pasuk is typical now. But so Achashverosh says, "Vayomer Melech LeEsther Gam Vayomer Sheni B'Mishteyah Mashei Laseich Esther Malka V'Tinasenach Mabakosh Laseich Atchatzia Machaseos." Right, same usual line, and the Gra points out Sheela is personal, and Bakosha is your agenda. He's been wondering about this. who she is personally and what her bakasha is all the way through the Megillah, since more or less since he met her. Right? We saw the whole Gemara of how everything he does at the end of the second perek is desperation to find out this Enes the Magedas. Who is this mysterious person who he immediately sensed that he's not threatened by, but she just doesn't tell who she is, no matter what efforts he makes. So, and he then had that whole night, Nodod Hashnas HaMelech, he's thinking there's a conspiracy against them, maybe she's involved and Haman's involved. He's actually sitting in the room with the two people he's most scared of right now, at this particular moment. But listen to what he says. He calls her Esther Malka when he talks to her, but it's the Yom HaMelech Le Esther. As far as he's concerned, she's not really a Malka. Whatever, she got chosen in the press, but she's Esther, but he says the words Esther Malka. But here, Vatan, when she replies, it's Esther Malka. He's always been looking at her as Esther. This person called Esther, formerly has to relate to as Esther Malka, some kind of... But here, Vatan Esther Malka, Esther HaMalka replies. Up till now, the verbs around Esther have been using the word Esther. Esther speaks, Esther does it, Esther does that. It's Vatan Esther Malka. Esther HaMalka now speaks up. What does that mean? So we saw earlier, the Gemara and the Medrash both brought, the Vatilabish Esther Malchus, when she walked in the first time, she wore Malchus. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? She said, big day Malchus, she wore clothes of Malchus. No, there's some kind of Ruach HaKodesh came upon her. There was some sense of a Midah of Malchus that entered the room with her. And something inside him, whether it's a Malach hitting him or something happens, and he recognizes that. And his Marbit, the Shavit Azov, here, it's not she's Malab, she's not wearing Malchus, she is Malchus. And as we pointed out again and again, the Megillah has been meramez to the fact that she is Malchus. She's the Malchus of Shaul HaMelech. That's what she is. She's the incarnate form of Shaul, brought back to finish what he failed to do. So she is Malchus. Esther HaMalka replies. There is a medrash which I've not been able to find. So if anyone finds it, please, you'll give us a simcha, but I've heard it quoted. That says that she began to be Masbir at that point, all the story of who she is, what her Malchus really is, what her lineage really is. So he begins to realize that sitting in front of him, he's always wanted to marry into Malchus to gain some kind of authentication. He's dreamed of having some relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. And suddenly he's got a real Malchus that's centuries old, the one he always wanted to be like. The one that he's always been scared at, Hatzia Malchus, Davachaitza Malchus, this whole attempt to build Shushan instead of the Sheshana, to build Shushan Abira instead of Yerushalayim Abira, has always been about this Malchus, and he's actually got it. So things are starting to happen in the room. Things that are beneath the surface are starting to move towards Haman, whose real existence is just destruction, is starting to look like destruction. All he is a cause of Eva God Laihudim, and he's now Avel V'Chafoy Rosh. Esther, who's always been hidden, is a hidden Malchus. She's now an Esther Malka. So things are beginning to feel more real as over here. But now watch the dialogue, and this is so interesting because it's so easy to miss. So what is it she says this time? But time she says, if I found favor in your eyes, king, okay, that we expect. If it's good for the king. Now that's interesting because if it's good for the king, what she's going to say ostensibly is not going to sound so good for the king. Right? Give me my personal agendas, I'd like to live. For Ami Bavakoshosi and my people, that's my Bakosha. Now, this is not so obviously Mala Melech Tov, so maybe she's best off leaving that phrase out. Then she says, Kinim Karana Nivami, we've been sold Lahashmid Laragal Abid to be obliterated. Then she says something really fascinating and really counterintuitive and actually a bit perplexing. If we were just sold to be avodim, sold slavery, I'd be silent. What did she just say that one for? Could you imagine Achashverosh could turn around and go, I've got this horrific dilemma going on. I've got Haman here on the one. I've given him the tabas. Oh, phenomenal pshara. Let's make them avodim instead. What's she doing? She would really just be... If we were Avodim, that's it. We don't need to ask Mitzrayim. We want to come out from Avodim in the Farab Mitzrayim. We want to be Avodim in Achashverosh. That's one of the reasons the Gemara might not even say halal, because there's still some kind of shibud. But we want to be proper Avodim, Shvachas, and Karno. And this is the greatest Pisrein pair to Haman. He could have said, and this is, by the way, we're going to have to think about this, why Haman doesn't actually give some kind of answer like, I never realized. That's another great mystery of this story here. Right? I didn't realize what's going on. You know, that I'm so sorry, we'll make an exception for her, or let's make them avodim l'shvachos. What she offered this for? Then they carry on, and Achashverosh says, V'yemel Esther Hamalka. Now he speaks not to Esther, now he speaks to Esther Hamalka. The subtle word choice in the Megillah are incredible here. Just to pay attention, and the truth is, we could look at almost every word in the Megillah. So it's like one of the painful things learning. So you have to like jump. But it's just to notice this. Who is this? This is preposterous. I've never heard of this thing before. Remember, when Haman first proposed it, he never said yes. He took off the ring and he said, "You do whatever's good in your eyes. I want what we call in English plausible deniability. I want to be. If it should ever come a problem, I want to." I never knew, and here he is. He's doing typical Achashverosh. Really? Have you heard the decree? You know, has anyone heard this before? And look what she does. Vatoyma Esther, and she doesn't start with the words Haman. Ish tsar v'oyev Haman. What's the Gemara say? She was looking him straight in the eyes. A malachat to come and nudge her and say, you know, okay, Haman Arazah. What's she doing this for? What's happening over here? So this is what Reinberg wanted to say. It's so powerful and so emistic. She wants to look him in the eyes and she wants him to squirm as she says the words, Ish tsar v'oyev. Do you not realize I know the truth and I know that you know? And it's about time we stopped playing games. Now this is a hugely risky strategy. First of all, she's offered to be avodim l'shvachos. Then she's pointed the finger when he's given her the great way out. He said, "I didn't know about it." She could say, "Oh, really? Well, let me tell you. There's a fellow called Haman and he's made this decree. Should we get rid of him?" Instead, she does the worst, seemingly worst thing. She looks him in the eye and says, "It's you. You gave this decree. You gave the ring. You know what you're doing." What's she doing? Unless that's the whole point of what Esther's doing. So long, Achashverosh, can you stop playing games for one moment? Can you stop all this world you've been living in that's one big lie from beginning to the end? Can you face reality for one second and admit that you're the real, you're behind this? Okay, we know it's Haman who actually manipulated your son, but you've got to take responsibility. Why is she willing to risk all this? Why she says, because what she's saying to him is, Achashverosh, your entire existence, so long as you're living in this world of games, which he's been living in from the beginning, it's everything we pointed out, right? Every single state of mind is prefixed with a ka, till this point in the Megillah of Achashverosh, any positive state of mind. It's all fake. Everything is games. Everything's la'asayis kitzaynish v'ish, to please this one and this one, and one extreme and the other, Mordechai and Haman. Everything has been this. Everything has been about trying to win popularity and trying. Everything has been about illusion. Everything has been a mask. And Esther says, so long as he's in that world, there is no chance of reality to be saved. Because the real issue here is, can we save Klal Yisrael? Can we build a base mitzvah? Can we deal with a real world and not a fake world over here? In a fake world, Haman's got it all sorted. In a real world, that's where Yisrael is. So we need to burst this fakeness and get to reality. And he says, and she says to him, do you realize, had you sold us la'avodim l'shvachos, it would have been good for you? This argument I wouldn't be able to use. But you aren't even doing what's good for you. You're so trapped in your own little bubbles of illusion. You're so like, you know, in some world of lies where you're trapped in its own web, that you're actually destroying yourself. You're taking a significant part of your own economy and destroying it. For what? You wanted to make us avodim. At least you're doing. So at least you're doing something real. At least you're being some kind of malach. We might think you're an evil king, but at least you're not anything here. You're just a person. You're like the drug addict who's so wrapped around in your own lies and own web. You don't realize you're destroying yourself. And he said, "Well, oh wow, you're right. This is terrible. Just stop lying. It's ish tsar v'oyev. Okay, the real Haman. But can you stop? Can you face the fact you did this?" And watch what happens in the next pasuk. V'amelech kom b'chamosay mishtayayin al ginas abisan. The first time in the whole Megillah that Achashverosh gets up and goes out alone. He doesn't go to his yodidas v'din. He doesn't go to ask somebody what they should do. He doesn't do anything. He gets up and he walks out. And he's in his real emotions. He's in this, this is Bechamosai, right? And then I have the whole Gemara that he, as he walks out, he sees all that because he's come Bechamosai, but he's also Shav. So he carries Shiva, like his Kima, he comes back the way he came out, full of the Chema. What happened in between? He sees Malochim destroying the whole Gina, and who are these? Are we the Haman squad, you know? But remember, he's not Zoicha to Nevuah, and if either Rambam and the Radak and many other shittas, he can't even see a Malach when he's in a live state anyway. So Maral often explains, and then he does here, that means they push with the mind. What that means is the Malachim are showing him reality. It's not fake. They're not pretending. That's not. There's a reality that everywhere he looks, he realizes his entire Gina, which his entire world, is being destroyed by Haman. Suddenly he realizes, that's what Einat Tzar showed from Ezek HaMelech, one line in Chazal is, this is the same guy who got rid of my, the first queen, isn't it? This whole world he's been building for me has been one big... He got rid of my first queen. He made sign those letters that made me look like a complete idiot. He took the tabas. He's been destroying me from... He's been sucking the blood out of me and manipulating me this entire... And he comes... He's suddenly seeing for the first time what's really been happening. And that's why she does what she does. Now... Then he comes back in. And the Malach says he keeps pushing it down. Again, that's reality. That's all he's been doing. Now I think this might be the real significance of the previous parak. We asked last time, what was that Laila who Noldoshnas HaMelech doing? It's very nice. You feel there's a turning point. You feel this wonderful sense when Mordechai walks, is being walked around town by Haman, and everything Haman tried to do is the first, it's the mini Purim story happening. Haman walks in, he's got all the power, and he tries to elevate himself, and instead he ends up denigrating himself and elevating Mordechai. We feel a certain geula. But if you remember, the end of the story ended with Haman comes in, he's on the operation, but Mordechai, Yosha Mordechai, Shamelech, he goes back, and the Medrash Rabbah says, it's simple, when a person's with Sarah and a person's got an avoida to do, you have to carry on. You started to fill out, you carry on till it's finished. That's what the Medrash tells us. What does that mean? That means we might have gone around and go, oh, that shkocha's going my way, we've got it all, you know, this is it. That's not what Mordechai does. I don't know where the shkocha's going. This is a nice thing, maybe it's chus for something, some kind of, but the avoida hasn't changed. That's all the way through Mordechai and Esther. I don't know, Mia Demleis, because there's a guy in the marks. I know you've got to try and do the right thing right now. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't have a plan. Kadosh Baruch Hu's got the plan. Right? So what was that? So what did it achieve in the story? That was a very nice episode. But the Teretz is that I think is that because Zeresh, Amalek, when we believe in the plan, therefore we never need to work out where we are in it. We only need to work out what we've got to do right now. That's all. Right now I've got to sit back and cry and be... That's what I'm going to do. What's going to be the outcome? Kadosh Baruch Hu decide. Well, right now, you got to go and do something. The granddaughter of Shaul HaMelech in the palace, you got to do something. I don't know what. Okay, so let's fast, let's daven. We'll, right? I don't know what will happen. We'll put, can Haman and Chashverosh come to a party? Hashem's running the world, not me. I got to do the right avoida in each place. But that's it. There's, you know, but that's what I got to do. Haman is the because he has no plan, therefore he's always got to work out where things are. And Zeresh says, you know, in Mizrahi Yehudim Mordechai Sheikh, you're clearly going to lose to Mordechai. Right? He comes in with those the last words ringing in his ear. And the very first words he hears at Suda is, I'm actually Jewish. You know, that is he's fought, in his mind he's lost already, so that's it, he doesn't do anything. He's at this point become a that's it, exactly, he has no, he can't respond, he can't answer, he can't do anything. That took that away from him. Then comes in Chavronah, says, and this, by the way, the oimek of this, by the way, Esther never asked he gets killed. You notice this. Esther never asked anything. She just said, you asked that we should live, which hasn't yet been granted. It's an important thing to notice. At this stage, that hasn't yet happened. That's going to be the next parak. This stage, we haven't got it. Yeh b'charvoyna, and the charvoyna, sorry, Sim says, which some of Farshim bring, charvoyna was probably part of Haman's inner circle, otherwise, he went to tell the king that night that he would like to hang Haman, but he never got to. So the king said, mi b'chot, Haman b'chot, so he just called him straight in and said, who should we honor and go? He never got a chance to even mention this yet, so who knows about it? He's in a team. So Harvoina flips around and says, you know, Talu Alav, Yisrael Haman, Alayt, Shehechen and Mordechai, and here, Hechen and Mordechai, of course, is the play on Memuchan. Right? The very first name we hear of Haman is Memuchan, the Gemara's Memuchan Abronis. The whole point of Haman is that everything, and this is really the whole point of everything everywhere, right? The Gemara, is everything he's doing is really Memuchan for its end. And the eights that he is Mechen is going to be the only person who can ever die on that eights is him. See, the Gemara said like this, Shalat Talmidim was Roshim Bayachai. The Talmidim in Megillat Beis, the Talmidim asked Roshim Bayachai. Right? Mibnei Ma Nisraiv Vosenem Shal Yisrael Shabai Sa'adar Kliya. A euphemism for why were Klal Yisrael, what do they deserve destruction for, that they had to be saved from destruction? And he says, you say, and they said, because they were Nanef and Sudav Achashverosh. He says, fine, if that was the case, then it would have just been the people of Shushan. You wouldn't have needed one in all the Medinas of Achashverosh. So he says, so what is it? He says, because they were Shtachav HaTzelem, because they bowed to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, V'chimasa Ponim Yesh B'dava, Amalem Heim Lo Yosu El Lefonim, they were fake, they weren't doing it for real. Avakadosh Baruch Lo Yosu Mehem El Lefonim. He also wasn't doing it for real. In other words, there's two levels of reality. On the superficial level, they were Mishtachav HaTzelem. On the superficial level, they were going to be destroyed. L'ashmed Aragal Abed. On that level of the story, on the superficial level, Klal Yisrael couldn't survive. They were Chayav Kaloya on the superficial level. But on the deeper level, they never really were Mishtachava. In their Pnimius, they were never really bowing down. On the deeper level, they never deserved this. So this is the deep, beautiful thing. If Esther can get us to the deeper level, if Esther can get a Chashresh, if Esther can get a world that's on the deeper level, we're going to survive that world. And on the deeper level, Haman and Memuchan all along, on the superficial level, they've been causing horrific, terrible things. Evil God Lehudim Tzoyimu Vechli, the frightening reality that they presented to us, which the Gemara later on says did more to generate tshuva than all the Nevi'im and Nevi'os. Right? This is on. So long as you live on that level, it's horrifically terrifying. The power of Ra is complete. There's no opposition force. There's no nay stopping it. There's nothing. The minute you go into the deeper level, that's not what's going on in the world. The eight was never an eight. It was a heichin. It was only a muchan. Ultimately, from a muchan, that's all it was. All the terrible things, all the decrees to kill in the Megillah ended up killing only Haman and all the Amalekim. Every decree he did, Haman and the world of Amalek. The way Haman engineered it, the only people who had to die as a result of that were all the. That's who he killed. So his gzeir on the superficial look, and it's turning over here. And then what happens is v'chamas hamelach shechacha. The first time in the Megillah that we have a real emotion of Achashverosh with no prefix ka. Not kashay chamas hamelech. Chamas hamelech shechacha. The anger that's been there all the way since Vashti has now gone. Chamas hamelech shechacha. And of course on the deeper level, the chamas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Since we were Mishtachav HaTzelem, there's been all the way through, it's only looked like it's going, but it's been there. Now, chamas hamelech shechacha. So this is a very, very powerful moment. And I want to also... Wow, time flies. Time flies when you're learning Torah. I want to also be mayor a very beautiful thing. If you remember the Gemara, the Megillah, the Gemara says that Haman HaTorah Minayin, where's Haman in the Torah? And we know that it's Amina Yitzhashat V'sicha Levil Techo Mena Chalto. Right? It's the very eight of us. Look at the psukim that come just before then. And it's very interesting. Remember, we've seen this many, many times. There are Muslim in the Megillah go all the way. The Ginas Bisan HaMelech is the Gan Eden, and the Eitz is the Eitz Adas. And we've seen many little hints over here that the Mepharshim bring out over here. But he says, right, after they do the Chait, V'yishmus Koyel Hashem Elokim B'shalech B'gan Neruach HaYoyim. The Koyel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Koyel of Hashem Elokim, going in the garden Neruach HaYoyim, V'yishchabe Ha'odom V'ishtoy M'nei Hashem Elokim V'soy Chait Zagon. They hide, Adam and Ishtoi hide, inside the tree. V'yikra Hashem Elokim and Adam V'yoyim Elei Ayeko. And Hashem calls out and says, Ayeko, where are you? And as the Medrash Eicha says, that's Eicha. Right, that's it. This is the Churban. So long as we're in a world of hiding, a world of non-reality, a world where we can't admit to ourselves who we are really, a world where we're hiding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world of impressions and fake and an Achashverosh world of the Yetzirah. So long as we're there, Ayeka, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where are you? And that Ayekah becomes Echa, becomes the Churban, it becomes the goddess, it becomes the Shtach HaVelet Tzelem. Vayemes Kolcha Shamati Begon Va'ira, Ki Eirem Anechi Ve'echave. I'm afraid. Eirem Anechi, Eirem Min HaMitzvos. I don't have any Zchus. I'm afraid I can't deal with reality. So I'm hiding. He says, Mi Gidacha Ki Eirem Ata, Hamin Ha'etz. At that moment, Haman enters. Asher Tzivisicha Levilti Achol Memen, Hamin Ha'etz is Haman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now sounding confused to us. Is where Haman enters the world. But it enters in a world where we are hiding. That's what Esther's achieved. She's turned it around. We're not hiding. Even Achashverosh is not hiding. When I can get you all to deal with reality, to admit what you've done wrong, to do, to be honest, to be true, then lots of the wrath starts to evaporate. And look at the very next psukim. After, I think we have one more. Todi's convinced we're doing one more session, Be'ez Hashem, for Purim. But just look at the very next psukim as the beginning of Perek Ches emerges. By Yom, and remember we said there's a machlokes in Chazal where the Chazresh is a Rosh HaMetchil about Sof, whether he does tshuva. Lefi, this it sounds like he does tshuva, at least on one level. In which case, listen to what happens next. By Yom, Nosan HaMelech Chazresh, L'Esther Malkos, Beis Haman Tzorei Yehudim. He gives her the power over the Beis Haman. U'mordechai Barif Nei HaMelech, Ki Yegida Esther Ma Hu La. Esther told Achashverosh what Mordechai is to her. What is Mordechai to Achashverosh exactly? What is Mordechai to Esther? Everything! Uncle, adoptive father, lefi at least one day in Chazal, husband! Now the Gemara says that every night she used to leave the palace and go home. Imagine you tell it to Achashverosh on the Laila Ahu when he's seeing everywhere conspiracies. Mordechai is dead the next moment. But now she can say exactly who Mordechai is. And not only that, he's Yosam Melech Tabatoi. He says, fantastic. He's not threatened by him. He wants to give him the Shnita. You ask what happens here? Achashverosh is a different person. If you say still rather, he's completely in the grip of Esther. But otherwise, one way that he's Mesukan, either because he's completely given, or because she's changed him. He's not threatened anymore. He's a real person. More than that, remember the we call it the Mishnah. It's the Tanah Dvei Eliyahu that we add into the sixth parak. We make it a sixth parak of Avos, right? That when we talk about the Memchas Drachim Shtor Niklas Bem and Omer Dabar B'Shem Omrei, say in the name. Why? Because we learn from Esther says tells there was Mordechai B'Shem Mordechai. So that where's the Geula Bala Olam from that exactly? Which Geula came? So if you say it's the fifth parak that the Lailul Nodosh Nasa Melech and then that wasn't a Geula. That was a nice, that was a beautiful moment. It's not a Geula. This is the Geula Bala'im. You realize what went through Achashverosh's mind right now? I was taking away his daughter, his wife, whatever she is, from this man. And he could have just stayed silent and I'd have been assassinated. And he'd have got about. This is the Geula La'im. Right? This is a person you can trust. This is somebody I'm Mesir the Tabas. I'm going to give it to him. I can trust him with everything. This is the maybe Geula La'im. You realize what's happening. The minute the tikkun of a ischabe adam vishtay, the tikkun of a world, and this is lefi the grower, Achashverosh is the living form of our Yetzirah. You realize that the Yetzirah lurks and lives, and all the koiches atumah that come through Haman and self-destructive world that comes, that's what it is. The minute we see through it, the minute we can stop living in a world of fake, the minute we can live in a world of MS and admit the the Ishtar of Oyev, I generated some bad things in the world. The minute I can look at that, the minute I can stop saying, Vayishchabe Adam Vishtay, hiding, the minute we come face to face and vulnerable, it's the minute we see all of this, all of this is not worth it, is the minute we get through our own beginning of our own tikkunim and our own realities and our own place where we suddenly meshabed ourselves to Mordechai. The Morador to the Psomim Rosh to the Chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Neshama itself, says the Gra. And this is a very powerful place in our own avoid and a very powerful place in the story. And with this, I think we have to finish here for today.